Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by Nicole Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
You know it's good when you make a plan. How many of y'all have a plan like Thanksgiving or something and you cook Thanksgiving dinner? So you know how you want to do your turkey, you know how you want to do your stuffing, you know how many sticks of butter you want to use, and if anybody comes into the kitchen and starts going crosswise with you, you just nicely invite them to go to the living room. You know what I'm talking about? That's how I like to do my message. I have my message. I have a way I like to do it. And I did, and I studied all day, and I wrote it down. I got up the next day, and I studied all day, and I wrote it down, and woke up the next morning, I opened my Bible, and I just had a time with God. Oh, those times when you get in there and like everything is speaking to you and you feel like a sponge and you can't even contain everything he's pouring into you at the moment. And that's when I knew I have these notes. And you know what's funny is when you know that you're supposed to go off record and you bring your notes anyway, and then like there's this screen up here that's supposed to bring up my next note that I control with my iPad and it doesn't work. That's when you know God doesn't want you doing what you thought you were going to do. God wants to go ahead and interrupt and do what he wants to do. You know, we make really pretty plans. It says man makes his plans, but God directs his steps. So we make our plans this way, and God's like, yeah, that's really cute. I like what you did there. Come on over here now. And he comes over here, and we look around, and we're like, yeah, God, that is so good. You know, I used to play softball back in the day. I know I look like a softball player, right?
No.
That's because I suck. I started in fourth grade, and my excuse for being bad was all the other girls started in first grade. But I would get up there and I would go to bat. And how many of you know that batting is offense in baseball, right? You're not supposed to have a defensive strategy for batting. I had a defensive strategy for batting. I would get up there to bat, and I grew so fast. It's not my fault, y'all. My bones grew faster than the rest of my body could catch up. I was not coordinated. When I would run, I would think, don't trip, don't trip, don't trip, don't trip, just like all the way to the time I was running. And I would like to tell you it's gotten better since then, and y'all think my jacket is cute and cuffed, but really, I cuff it because that's all there is to the sleeves. This is my life. This skirt is ankle length on most people. So I'm up there and my bones are too long and I grew too fast. I don't even know what to do with most of my body. So when I would get in the batter's box, I have to put my elbow up and then I stand there. And then right before they would pitch, my defense would kick in. Shrink the strike zone. That was my only hope of getting on base, is that that pitcher couldn't get it in a strike zone that was 1 foot big. So I warmly won the place on the team in the ninth place of the batting order. And you'd never know it by looking at all the trophies that you would see. I should have brought my trophies. If I'd have planned this message, I would have brought my trophies because I have all these first place trophies. But the team didn't win because of me. The team won in spite of me. Can I just be honest, right? Yeah, I was on the first place softball team my whole childhood career, except for they didn't want me. They got stuck with me. And you would think, I would hope that I would have gotten better through those years. And by eighth grade, I had moved up tremendously. I went from batting ninth to batting eighth. You know, and in eighth grade, as we graduated junior high, all these same girls, they went to my same school. And I mean, we had this pitcher, man, she was awesome. Oh, that hurts. Y'all know I don't cuss. But man, she could whip that ball around. I'm doing it a lot less, you know, this time. She could whip that ball around. The catcher was so scary, I wouldn't cross home plate and she was on my team, right? And so there they are, and they're giving out the school awards. And I thought maybe I'd win the English award because I really liked to write. Or maybe I would win the music award because I liked to sing. And I wasn't all that great, but I was really involved. And I had gotten this note saying I was receiving an award that day. So that's really what I thought was going to happen. They give out the science award and the history award, the math award, the English award. Oh, I didn't get that. And the art award and the music award. And I didn't get that. And they give away all these awards. And I'm even thinking in my head, what's left? Study hall award? Like, I'm the only one who didn't get suspension? How does this work? And they say, you know, our last award for the day is the sports award for the school from the physical education department. and we want to recognize somebody, and I don't even remember what they said. All I knew is they called my name, and in my head, I remember everybody going, because nobody could believe it. I'm here to tell you this morning that no matter what your circumstances look like and no matter what your history is, God does not see things the way that we see things. He sees things a complete other way. And he can cause people to see things his way. And he can take what was at the bottom and he can go ahead and he can give you an award for something you were never good at and you never have been good at and you're probably never, ever gonna be good at. But it doesn't keep God from being able to raise you up. God's got a word for you this morning, and that word is don't give up. Look at your neighbor and tell him loud, don't give up. That was nice. I really like the way you said, don't give up. I'm so encouraged right now. Now, if I'm thinking about giving up, I want somebody to look me in my little beady eye. I'm going to look at that camera right now. Y'all put me on screen. I want somebody to look me in my little beady eye, and I want them to look in my face and tell me, don't give up. So I want you to look at your neighbor right now. You give them those eyes, and you tell them, don't give up. That's right. Don't give up. We're tempted to give up. There's a little boy. He goes out in his backyard and he's like, I'm the best batter in the world. He throws up his ball and he swings his bat and he misses and he says, strike one. Picks up his ball, throws it back up in the air, goes to hit that ball, swings it, misses it again and says, strike two. Huh. Picks up the ball, looks at it funny, straightens his hat, throws it up in the air, goes to hit it, misses it completely and announces to nobody, strike three. And then he's really confused. Suddenly, his face changes and he says, I'm the best pitcher in the world. God sees things that we don't see. Go to 1 Samuel with me for a second. 1 Samuel 16. It says, the Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Now, let's just leave that up there for 1 second because I want to see the very first part of that scripture. It doesn't say the Lord doesn't see people the way you see them. It says the Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. What is a thing? The thing is your situation. It's a circumstance. It's an opposition that God has, really, that's an opportunity, but it's guised as opposition. It's the problem. It's the diagnosis. It's the negative balance in the checkbook. It's the person at work, the school, at the office who won't shut up about you. It's the spouse that is acting crazy. It's the kid you want to kill. Anybody ever wanted to kill their children, make another one, tell God they died, tell them, yeah, I just wanted to help you do your job, God. I just wanted to send them to heaven for you. Yeah, y'all don't have teenagers yet. The Lord doesn't see things. You see, what we do is we look at what's going on in our life and we decide what can happen. We operate by what we can see, but God doesn't operate by what we can see. God operates by the things we can't see. You see, we look at what's going on and we decide for God how he's going to do the miracle in our life. And we say, okay, God, here's what you're going to do. You're going to move them out of state so I can get promoted and have that job. And then you're going to get Susie Blatterbrow. Just fire her, God. Just get her fired. And God, here's, you know what I need? I just call in increase, God. So I call increase in my checkbook and I speak to clients to come. And here's how they're going to do. They're going to come from my competition and they're going to come to me. And we call it prayer, but we're just bossing God around. You know what I'm talking about? They don't do that. Any of you been praying and you were telling God what to do in your life? Yeah. Okay, you get me. So I'm going to preach over here. I'll be back there a minute. But we look at what we can see. Here's the thing. God is not a person. God is not physical. God is not natural. So we look at natural circumstances and we look at what we can see and we want to manufacture a miracle, which is not natural, it's supernatural. It can't happen in the natural, only God can do it. And we want God to do a miracle with natural things, which is completely impossible. What God wants to do is he wants to manufacture our miracle in the supernatural because that's what he is supernatural. And he can't manufacture a miracle out of things we can see. He manufactures miracles out of things we can't see. So what he wants us to do is stand there and believe in him even when we can't see anything that could possibly happen to make the situation right. He wants us to not give up. Tap your neighbor and tell him, don't give up. facing a situation and you're thinking, I was thinking about giving up on something. Man, I mean, I'm done. I'm over. I give up. I'm letting them go. Just give them to whatever. God wants to speak to you today because it is worth the fight. It is worth standing for. It is worth being there. You know, because Matthew 19:26, it says, anything is possible. Anything is possible with God. But we get out of that faith realm. God, see, darkness. Darkness rules in this land. This land is a curse. We live in a cursed land. But darkness doesn't rule over us. And that's where darkness gets really upset. Because whenever light comes into a situation, if you turn on a light, it's light. Darkness goes. Right? Every single time. You ever walked in a dark room, turn on a light bulb, the light bulb turned on and it stayed dark? No, that's not how it works. Light prevails over darkness, period. Way it works, it's a law, it's a truth. So when we start to shine light, darkness has to go. Here's the thing. Darkness wants to be in power, and darkness wants to be in charge. Darkness wants to rule and wants to reign. So when light comes, and that's us, and we start to step up and take our place, when we're ruling and reigning in heavenly places, when we start living in the blessing, and we start living in the blessing flow, darkness is being defeated and unseated. And that thing, that ceiling that we've been trying to reach, we can't reach it. We just can't get up there. God wants us to stand on Him and stand on His love and stand on His faith. And when we can stand on God, we can reach that ceiling. We can pull it down, put the enemy underneath our feet. That's where we belong. And what used to be our ceiling is now our platform that we can stand on. Amen. Tap your neighbor, tell him, don't give up. You know, once upon a time when I was little, I loved Kentucky Fried Chicken. Okay, that's a lie. Once upon a time, I loved Kentucky Fried Chicken, but I still love Kentucky Fried Chicken. So much so, I'm just telling myself. A couple weeks ago, I was driving to some kind of formal dealy bop, and I had on a nice dress, and I was by myself, and I was meeting everybody there, and they were going to feed us. It was a dinner. But I was hungry now. So as I'm driving there, I drive by a Kentucky Fried Chicken. I don't drive by Kentucky Fried Chicken most of the time in my life. On my normal routes, I don't have Kentucky Fried Chicken, and I drive by a Kentucky Fried Chicken, and I was hungry, y'all. Pretty dress or not. But I was also late because, hey, that's just how I roll. So I'm seeing Kentucky Fried Chicken. I'm checking my watch. I'm doing the math. I'm trying to figure out, can I eat and drive? And then I see, they got a drive-thru. This is God. And I realize if I try and eat and drive, I'm going to be late and covered in grease and smell like chicken. So I did not get my Kentucky Fried Chicken that day. So if anybody wants to give me a gift for Christmas... It's finger looking good. If you ate Kentucky Fried Chicken this morning for breakfast, I will lick your fingers. It's okay. But when I was little, we liked Kentucky Fried Chicken, and we didn't have money even for Kentucky Fried Chicken. So I remember when I was little, we would collect soda bottles. And I don't remember drinking soda in my house unless my parents drank it after I went to bed, in which case we need to have a real heart-to-heart this Christmas and talk about that. But so we gathered soda bottles, I guess, from the neighborhood, and we would take them to the grocery store and exchange the glass soda bottles for money. Anybody remember this? And so we would get $10 or something, and I would remember we would go to Kentucky Fried Chicken. I think that's why I like it today, because it takes me to this happy memory. And we would buy a bucket of chicken, and we would get those mashed potatoes with no lumps and that gravy that they call gravy, but it don't taste like my mama's gravy, but I'm still excited about it. And we would eat Kentucky Fried Chicken. You know, Colonel Sanders became famous. There's, I don't know, like 6,000 stores or something. And did you know that he wasn't a chef? Matter of fact, to sell his recipes, he got turned down 1,000 times. Visiting gas stations, restaurants, anybody who thought might want a chicken recipe. And as he went from place to place, he was sleeping in the back of his car. All this after he had owned a percentage of a barge company, and they didn't like him so much, they asked him if they could buy his stock just to get him out of the company. All this after he was selling tires and did such a miserable job, he got shut down. And before that, he managed a gas station, and the Great Depression came and shut that down. And how many of you knew Colonel Sanders was an attorney? He was an attorney, and he was in the courtroom, and he quit being an attorney because he got in a fight in the courtroom, like a fist fight. With his own client. This is the Colonel. But yeah, he never gave up. and back when I was a child, and yet today, I still crave Kentucky Fried Chicken. If he would have given up, he would have never been the famous colonel. He failed time after time after time, but he stayed with it, he stuck with it, and he pushed through. Look at your neighbor and tell him, don't give up. I'm telling you right now, it's worth the fight. And there is a fight. Otherwise, in the Bible, it would have never told us to put on the whole armor of God. So turn with me for our last few minutes together to Ephesians 6. In Ephesians 6, verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God. Now, God is another word for love. How many of you know God is love? You've heard God is love. But we don't think that all the way through necessarily. God isn't like love, or God and love aren't like synonymous. God is love. He is made of love. There is nothing in him but love. He is consumed with love. He is comprised of love. He is constructed of love. He is manufactured of love. Love can be substituted for the word God because God is love. So when it says to put on the whole armor of God, what it's really saying is put on the whole armor of love. How many of you know right there, you could just close the book and have homework for 2 weeks? Because when we have to put on the whole armor of love, it's because we're tempted not to have love in that moment. You got anybody in your life who gets on your nerves? How about somebody who gets on so many of your nerves, they got on all your nerves, and they finally managed to get on your very last nerve? And then they have the audacity to get on Facebook and say something about you that is not true, never was true, and never will be true, except for they keep acting like that. Then you will kill them. Y'all just saved. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You're just having a peachy morning. It is all good. You're minding your own business. Your worship music is on. Your Bible is open. You're like, Jesus, I love you. Oh, Lord, I love you. And then your phone goes, ding. You're like, oh, I got a text message. You pick up your text message and like, no, they didn't. You lose all your love and you lose all your Jesus. You were just all in heaven a minute ago. And right now, you're just up on the inside in the flesh. Anybody got a flesh? You know, it used to be only our tongue we had to worry about, but now with texting and email and social media, we need our fingers to worry about too, because these two thumbs right here, they can do some business, man. I tell you what, I don't think you should, and don't you know that my God, and I tell you what, he's got my back, and then we use the Bible in the flesh. So let's skip up a scripture 1 second and go to 12, because we'll finish 11 in 1 second. It says, for we wrestle not against principalities and powers, but rulers. Hold on. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places. Remember how we talked about the ceiling? Remember how we talked about darkness is where we're called to be? So we have to pull down the darkness so we can be the light, so we can put the devil under our feet, so we can shatter that ceiling and make it our floor. It's not the person that's acting like the devil. They're not the devil. The devil, he's not in that person. It's not the flesh that we're dealing with. Okay, so maybe you're dealing with a diagnosis, or maybe you're dealing with a competitor. The flesh is still the diagnosis. The tumor is in the flesh. The cholesterol is in the flesh. We don't war against flesh and blood, but we war against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places, because sickness is of the curse. The curse came on when Adam fell. There is no curse in heaven, therefore there will be no sickness in heaven. So even our body problems, they are of the flesh, right? You're sick in your body. We don't wrestle with our body. We wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places. So when somebody comes against us, when something comes against us, we can't fight it with our fist, and we can't fight it with our mouth, and we can't fight it with a well-worded email that just says all the right things. No, we're called to stand in love, putting on the whole armor of God. Y'all ain't too excited about it yet. We'll get you there. It says, put on the whole armor of love that ye may be able to stand. That's the thing. We don't want to stand. We want to make something happen. Don't tell me just stand here. Turn me loose. God, turn me into a whirlwind. Let me just, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and use me, God. Right? But if we use our vengeance, we tie his hands. It's our vengeance or his. So if we do his job, the job has been done, and now we have to live with the vengeance that we did instead of letting him do it his way. How many of y'all guess his way's better? Put on the whole armor of love that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What does wiles mean? That's like the schemes, the plans. Darkness wanting to stay seated high. He wants to stay there, so he's planning to push you down and keep you low. He's planning on getting you to give up. Look at your neighbor and tell them, don't give up. That's right. All that so you may be able to stand. So verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of love. The whole armor of love. You see, that's it. The Bible tells us we're supposed to put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of peace. He gives us the shield of faith, and above all, taking our sword, which is our sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is our weapon. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We don't fight with this in our words. We don't fight with this in our strength. We don't fight with this in our fight. We fight by standing in love. Hardest thing you'll ever do, biggest rewards you will ever get. There's a girl that comes to this church, and she's single, and you know, she's not married and not interested in getting married, no prospects, but she wants a baby. How many of you know there's only so many ways to have a baby? She's like, what do I do? So she decided to sign up for the foster care system. So she signs up for the foster care system so she can pour love into children who need love. Well, the very first child she gets through the foster care system is a little newborn baby girl. Oh, does that sound like God? That's just stuff money can't buy. It's not things you can line up for yourself. This is just, it's the way God is when you stand in love. So she gets this baby, and things are going well, and she's falling in love with this kid. She's like, oh, God, never take this baby away from me. And then she gets a notice from the court. She says, hey, the parents have never reported in. They've lost interest. They're both drug addicts. They go in and out of prison, and they don't want the baby. Would you possibly be interested in adopting this child? She's like, oh, my gosh. God has given me something that I couldn't give myself. Well, then the opportunity comes for her to not stand. You see, it all sounds good and great until the trying of our faith worketh patience. I pray for patience. I say, God, give me patience and give it right now because I'm in a hurry. Right? That's what our patience, that's how we want patience to come. We pray, you give, let's go. I'm just honest. Is it okay if I'm honest? But the way it works, it's the trying of our faith. It's the thing that comes and gets us to try and not stand. And God knows that we need his love so bad. That's what he tells us to put on the whole armor of love. What does that mean? That means that we're wrapping it around us. We're putting his helmet on our head, our breastplate on, our loins, our feet, our belt. And we just surround ourselves and we wrap ourselves up in God so much so the enemy's got nowhere to get through that love to make us act a fool. So we'll get back to her in a minute. Let's go to another scripture. So we put on the whole armor of God, but why do we do it? Take on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, he wants us to what? Stand. Stand is the thing that we're looking for here. Having done all to stand, we talked about the trying of our faith. That means stuff's going to try and come, fear, doubt, unbelief, circumstances, the enemy. He's going to try and keep us from that thing that we're reaching out for, the thing that God wants us to have. And what God wants to know, are we going to give in to that or are we going to stand? I need Big Jim. Big Jim, come on up here with me. You see, everybody thinks about, oh, this sounds good. Oh, yeah, I'm going to stand in Jesus' name. But then things happen and you have an opportunity in the parking lot to stand in love when they cut you off and nick your bumper and pull off the church parking lot without telling you their name. Y'all act like it never happens. But what God wants us to do is he wants us to stand when opposition comes. Hi, Big Jim. I picked you because in these shoes, my husband gave me these shoes. Aren't they cute? They're awesome. They're like 5-inch heels. I think they're a torture chamber. He says he loves me, but then he gives me these. I don't understand. So I know, even in these shoes and this skirt, and you know, I don't know if it's all appropriate, but can you try and make me not stand? Having done all to stand. Stand! I'm not mad at you. Now, it doesn't look right. Like, I'm trying to stand in these shoes. It's not fair. Well, just because one trial comes and we stand through it and we're like, okay, I made it. Now it's time for my blessing to come. Don't be thrown off if the enemy tries something else crazy. Because the trying of our faith worketh patience. If it's like, okay, here's the formula. I pray, one trial comes, then I get my blessing. We can do that. It's not a formula. So what we do is we make it through one, and you're like, you know what? This didn't work out good. You know what? My one friend talks doubt and unbelief. My other friend, she just drains me emotionally. This music makes me cry and sad. That movie makes me think crazy thoughts. So I'm going to take off all these things that are not love and are not God, and I'm going to prepare myself better to stand. Because then when these things come against me, come on, I am more set up to stand in God, and I'm going to take this ground, and he ain't moving me. He might be bigger than me. He might be tougher than me, but I ain't moving because I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand for this thing, God. I'm going to stand in love. I want to jack him in the jaw right now, but I ain't going to do it. Thanks, Big Jim. Appreciate it. We prepare ourselves to stand. Shed those things that don't work for you and encompass yourself in love. The whole armor of God. Is your music pulling you up or pushing you down? Is your TV pulling you up or pushing you down? The books you're reading pulling you up or pushing you down? The friends you have pulling you up or pushing you down? Show me your friends and I'll show you your future, because your friends need to be telling you, don't give up. They need to be telling you to what? Stand. Somebody give God a praise. Be like a blonde at a Coke machine. They say there's this blonde, she's at a Coke machine, she puts her dollar in, Coke comes out, she's like, oh, I love this. She puts it on the ground, she puts another dollar in, she hits another button, and a Diet Coke comes out. This is awesome. She puts it down. She puts another dollar and hits another button, and a Mountain Dew comes out. She puts that down, and she starts digging in all her pockets because she can't find any more money. She does that for about 3 minutes. Finally, the guy in line behind her says, excuse me, ma'am, I'd really like to get a soda. Can I do that? And then you can go back to doing what you're doing here. And she said, buddy, I am not giving up this machine while I'm winning. She has faith in that machine. She believes that it's given. God is better than a blonde at a Coke machine. She was going to stand at that machine, and she was not going to give up her place. We get one little report that comes up crooked. They say one more thing, and you're like, really? We're still doing this? And we want to step out of that space. And God said, no. Stay in this zone. This is where I protect you. This is where I'm going to bless you. This is where I need to find out, do you believe me and how I want to do this thing for you? I know you're thinking about giving up, and I know you think it's hard. That's okay. But I want to tell you this. You serve a God who is bigger. You serve a God who is better. You serve a God who is faithful, and you serve a God who is like, will God do it? Yes, God will do it because he said so in his word. He is not a God who hates you. He is a God who loves you. He's not only your God and King, he's also your Father, and he's not an earthly father who might mess up and do it wrong. He's your heavenly Father, and he does it all right. If your blessing hasn't come yet, hold on a minute. He's opening a door that you don't even know exists yet. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, don't give up. And I'm going to close with one story. There's a girl, she's 16 years old, and she just gets her driver's license, and she's driving down the street with her dad. I mean, they're fresh from the driver's license bureau. And a storm comes up, and it starts raining really hard, and she says, Dad, I better pull over so you can drive. And he says, no, baby, I want you to keep driving. So she's really nervous, and she's really scared she's going to screw up and wreck the car, and then she won't be able to drive anymore. And she sees a couple of cars pull off the road, and she says, Dad, cars are pulling over. I need to pull over and be safe. And he says, no, I want you to keep driving. So she's not believing that this is happening right now, and she's driving down the street, and she knows she's way outside of her skill set, and she's got no business in this place. And she sees 18-wheelers and professional drivers pulling off the road, and she says, Dad, I need to pull off the road. And she says, and he says to his daughter, baby, I want you to keep driving. She keeps driving, and she's just certain this is the wrong thing to do. It is a bad idea. She's like preparing her speech to tell mom, Mom, I wanted to pull over, but Dad wouldn't let me give up. Within just a few more minutes, she drives, and she comes out of the storm, and it's sunny on the other side. And Dad said, I want you to pull over now. She said, what? He said, yeah, pull over now. She pulls over, and he says, I want you to look. All those cars are still back there in the storm. They're still back there getting rained on. They're still back there in the problem. But because you didn't give up and you kept going, you got to the other side. And this is what I wanted you to see. What a great picture of trusting the Father when it doesn't look right. When we're not equipped to do it that way. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you want me to pray for you specifically today, whether you're online, whether you're on television, whether you're in the room, if you've been tempted to give up, if you've needed help standing, if you thought about just letting it go, will you raise your hand so I can pray for you? Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, I decree and declare, oh, that your holy power, your holy strength, God, that you cloak us in your love. You surround us. You encompass us. And God, we repent right now of limiting you to a certain space, to a certain box, and doing it a certain way. We say we take our hands off of that, and we loose you in your power. Now, God, that you've been loosed, go and move. Release that anointing. Release that power. Release that blessing. Release those finances. Shrink that tumor. Move in that relationship. Break that addiction, God. However you want to do it, we trust you. We believe you. And we will stand for you in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If you believe it, give God a hand clap of praise.
For more information about Pastor Nicole's teachings and ministry, visit NicoleCrank.com. We will